Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage contains God's beautiful assurances of protection from danger, disease, and nefarious traps. However, those promises are for those who live their lives in close, personal fellowship with the Almighty. The Most High must be your refuge, your fortress, and your God to lay claim to these promises. Please open your Bible to Psalm 91 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study of this chapter.
He poured out his love, his forgiveness of sins.
Psalm 91. Why don't we do this? I want to read the whole psalm tonight, and then we'll go back and comment on it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by the day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a beautiful psalm. He that dwells, he that lives, he that abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. In Him will I rely. On Him will I lean. And in Him I confidently trust. There are four titles of the Lord's name in this psalm. There is the personal name Yahweh down in verse 9. And then in verses 1 and 2, there's Elyon, the Most High, Shaddai, the Almighty, Elohim, the Triune God. And we have this promise tonight, beloved, that when we dwell in that place of fellowship with Him, that we can have safety under the shadow of His wings. Now, it just so happens that since the time of chapter divisions, you know that there wasn't any chapter divisions in the original texts, that this happens to be Psalm 91:1. And I've heard many preachers say to the congregation, I've probably said it myself, that for God's people, this is God's 911. This is His number. And it is those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It's interesting that the secret place, as it says here in the King James of the Most High, would be a reference to the Holy of Holies. And that was the privilege of the high priest under the law. Only he could go into the Holy of Holies. And that was once a year on the Day of Atonement. But we know that under the new covenant, all believers in Christ, you and I, now have boldness to enter into the holiest place of all by the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I have access to fellowship with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have the privilege of walking in the very presence of God day or night. And he says, I will cover you with the shadow of my wings. That's a metaphor that speaks of God's protection. We see it in Psalm 17 verse 8, Psalm 57 verse 1, Psalm 61 verse 4. You recall how when the Lord was leading the nation of Israel out of the wilderness, it says in Deuteronomy 32, 11 and 12, as an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bear them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The one who regularly abides in the shelter of the Most High, abides in that secret place, will find rest and protection from the Almighty. Notice here that the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Did you notice all of those personal pronouns? My refuge, my fortress, my God. It's no good for me if I say it's Joy's refuge, Joy's shelter, Joy's God. That's good. That's wonderful. But it's not until I can acknowledge it. I will say, Lord, tonight, you are my fortress, my refuge, my God. And right now, I am trusting you. David, the man after God's own heart, said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. What a wonderful, wonderful declaration that is. John Corson writes these words, the Most High, or El Elyon, is a name for God that is frequently linked with priestly praise. In other words, he that lives in that place of praise and worship, whether it be in morning devotions or in evening walks with the Lord, or whether it be in your car, shall abide under the shadow of God's protection and provision. And he makes this comment, praise always precedes power. Before thousands were saved at Pentecost, people praised the Lord in their own tongue. It was as Peter and Silas praised the Lord in that prison cell that doors flew open. And one of the most beautiful disciplines, vital disciplines in our lives, is to learn how to praise and worship God, especially when things are darkest and dimmest. Praising Him for who He is. And so we find the secret place has these two beautiful bookends. Praise, and in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you go into your secret place and pray. Praise and prayer. And you know the beautiful thing about that? There is that intimacy in the closet. But you and I can praise, and we can pray in the supermarket, in our car, wherever we are. And we can have that sense of the presence of God in our lives. It is so good for us to know tonight that when we dwell in that place of prayer and praise, that we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence or disease. Now, a fowler is the name that was used to describe a bird hunter. And the traps that were set for the birds were called, of course, the snares of the fowler. And so, when you bring that into the spiritual realm, the fowler is who? Satan, who goes around setting lots of traps for you and me. Paul calls those traps in Ephesians the wiles of the devil. He calls them the fiery darts of the enemy. And we know that Peter tells us that the fowler is actually Satan, who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the snares that he uses are lies and deceptions. And his very first trap in the garden was to question the Word of God. That's what Satan always wants you and I to do, to question God's Word. Did God say? Every one of us here tonight know, if you're born again, that you can expect and you are engaged in a very, very serious battle. And that's spiritual warfare. And if you don't know what spiritual warfare is, then I would suggest that you get born again. Because once you are born again, you step into a battle that you never knew existed until you went from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. It's inevitable. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us that God gives to us the whole armor of God, that we may stand against how many of the wiles of the enemy? How many? All? All the wiles of the enemy? We have the full armor of God tonight, beloved. And we need to wear that armor 24/7. The whole armor of God, from head to toe. We can walk in the presence of God, in the power of God, in the reality that God said He will protect us. It's His armor. Never substitute God's armor with your armor or my armor. I think of when the 70 turned back and Jesus had sent them out to minister to people, and God did wonderful things through the Spirit of God. And in Luke 10, Jesus would say to these individuals, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But then he says, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Rejoice! Your names are written in heaven. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's a memory verse that the enemy doesn't want you to memorize. But that's the truth. The promise of God is that He shall surely deliver those who abide or dwell in fellowship with Him, and that He will go ahead of us in our life. He'll lead us, He'll guide us, He'll direct us, and His Word defines for us many of the snares of the enemy. And we are not to be ignorant of them. The noise and pestilence is translated in different translations, a deadly pestilence, a deadly disease, or destructive plague. And that's interesting. In light of all of the things that you and I are dealing with this evening worldwide. But let's move on. I don't want to get on into that tonight. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust." His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. His truth. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And one of the things that the devil does not want you and I to do is to renew our minds with the truth of God and with the Word of God, because it is our shield and our buckler. Notice two contrasting metaphors are used for God's protection. One, a fortress filled with shields and ramparts. And number two, a mother bird gathering her brood underneath her wings. The fortress has walls of impregnable strength. Spears and arrows cannot make a dent into those walls. The mother bird shelters with wings that are essentially fragile. She shelters her young from burning heat or rain and cold, only bearing them herself. God says, "I will protect you." Now, some people ask, why does God compare Himself to a bird? Well, in this case, a mother bird. Well, talking to you moms, you don't pick on your kids, do you? Uh-uh. You don't pick on a mama's boys or girls. And mother birds are known for the protection that they give to their young. Jesus used this similar metaphor when he longed to gather the city of Jerusalem under his wings. In Luke 13, verse 34, Jesus cried, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." Can you imagine? There was the invitation, there was the promise to come and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And amazingly, the people didn't want it. They chose counterfeit protection. Jesus says, "How often I would have gathered you. How often I would have watched over you and protected you. But you would not." And Tim Keller tells us, "The softness of a bird's protection is balanced by the hard, solid protection of a shield in the second half of the verse. God provides both for his people. God's faithful promises are your armor and protection tonight, beloved." We have a protecting God. You know that? He's a jealous God. And the love that we have for our children, that protective love that we have for our children, is nothing compared to the protective love that God has for you and I tonight. Now, when I hear the word wings, I just inevitably think of that awesome passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." When you and I choose to wait upon the Lord, he says, "I will renew your strength. I will renew your strength." And you know, and I know, that we cannot walk this walk in our own strength. Every time you try to walk in the ways of the Lord in your own strength, you fall flat on your face, don't you? When we lean on our own understanding, when we seek to replace God's wisdom or God's ways with inferior wisdom and inferior ways, we fail. And God gives us tonight. We are in an intense battle. You know that. And as the end draws near, the Bible very clearly says that Satan is going to pull out all stops. But greater is he that is in you. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, as we learn to live lives of prayer, praying as we're walking through the day, throughout the day, praising God for who he is, drawing near to him, waiting upon him. The word wait isn't a passive word, it's a verb. It means, it's like when you go to a restaurant. Or when you go to some place and there's a waiter or a waitress, it's just making yourself available to be a servant of the Lord, waiting on him, serving him, praising him, praying to him. And when we do that, he says, "I will give you the strength to resist the fiery darts of Satan, who, like that fowler, that bird catcher, wants to snare you and me." Didn't Jesus tell Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desire to sift you like wheat"? You have an enemy tonight. You have a real enemy. And yet, we have a God that is stronger than the enemy. I can't stand before the enemy on my own. Nor do I want to. Nor would I be foolish enough to try. "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And one of the keys to waiting upon the Lord, and we don't hear too much about it these days, but it's the importance of cultivating not only a reverence for the Lord, not only adoration of the Lord, not only disciplining our mind with the Word of God, and by that I mean reading the Word, meditating on the Word, praying the Word, but walking in the fear of God. I read this passage today in my devotions in Proverbs 14, verse 27, and it fit in perfectly here. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So God will protect me, but I must choose to walk in His ways. We'll get into that in a minute. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. And that speaks of things that are invisible, things that you and I cannot foresee or detect, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. There's an ancient translation of the Bible called the Chaldee version. And this verse reads like this. Quote, listen to this. This is interesting. Thou shalt not fear the demons that walk by night, nor the arrow of the angel of death, which is shot in the daytime. And yet, there's a lot of fear going on right now, isn't there? There is a lot of fear. And I met with another pastor today, and we were talking over breakfast and encouraging each other in the Lord. And he said something to me. He says, you know, Pastor Ray, he says, there is something that is more dangerous than COVID-19. I said, tell me. He said, it's the plague of fear. Fear. We are living in a fear-driven society. We are living in a society, we're worried about everything. Fearful about COVID, the upcoming election, the collapse of the stock market, identity theft, terrorist attacks. And I was sharing with my wife the other day and with the staff. You recall when Nehemiah was building the wall. And as he was building the wall, little by little, there was more and more opposition mounted against him. And finally, they realized, well, we can't get this guy to stop doing the work of the Lord. They said, let's have an idea. Let's join him. You know, kind of like the Trojan horse thing. And Nehemiah says, No. God called us to build the wall. Well, that enraged them. And in chapter 6 in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, Nehemiah mentioned that there were people who were actually hired to make him afraid in doing the work of the Lord. Do you know that there are people that are actually hired to put fear in you and me? They are called news anchors. And I don't care if they're on the left or on the right. And they come up with all of this drama. The music, you know, the hearings. COVID-19 update. What happens if Biden wins? What happens if Trump wins? There's going to be a new wave of this. And I hear more. I don't have to read the newspaper. Now, I love you guys dearly from the bottom of my heart. You give me all of the bad news. Did you hear this, Pastor Ray? There's a new flu coming. 200 million are going down. Really? Oh, so how much time did you spend in the Word this morning? Well, not that much. There are people that are actually paid to make you and I fear. I mean, just look at the commercials. My wife and I were at an age where we watch a certain channel, and not all the time, but every commercial is about you lost your hearing. You need to go see an eye doctor. You have a twitch in your knee. And by the end of the program, I'm going like this. And I'm thinking, you know, if you sniffle, if you lose a sense of smell, I'm thinking, give me a Q-tip. I'm going to see, maybe I'll test myself. I go, what am I doing? What am I? Shut that thing off. There are people that you know, that you love. And what they'll do is just tell you how bad things are, how horrible things are. Well, I don't need them to tell me. The Bible tells me that we live in perilous times. The Bible tells me that we live in times of darkness. I know that. But you don't renew your mind by feeding it on fear. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.